lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Whew. What a prayer. What a topic. This morning, as I say, we'll focus on Matthew 6:13, the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. The last few weeks I've been talking about the Lord's Prayer and saying that when we treat the Lord's Prayer as a meditation, even before we pray, we start to uncover all the golden nuggets and all the DNA and all the truth and all the wonder about God's character. There's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I think praying the Lord's Prayer after you've meditated on the Lord's Prayer is probably the most powerful prayer you can ever pray. Let me say that again. Meditating on the Lord's Prayer, breaking it down, understanding exactly who you're talking to, who you're appealing to, where he's exalted, how his kingdom is coming, how you pray his will be done. When you start to break down all the truth of the Lord's Prayer, and then you pray, our Father, it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. When you think about this one verse, lead me, or lead us not into temptation. If I'm meditating on that verse, what kind of things am I thinking about that might lead me astray? What kind of things might lead you astray? Is it your tongue? Is it what you listen to? Is it what you watch? Is it what you fill your heart with? Is it down that shopping aisle, looking at all those Jaffa cakes? And we're so easily knocked off course. So easily. This time a year ago, I was slimmer than Mr. Slim. Look at me now. What's happened? I've got knocked off course. Whose fault is it? How did it happen? Slowly, slowly, slowly. Oh, go on, then I'll have that bag of crisps. I'll have that little snack. Oh, you're making a cup of tea, love. Oh, yeah, I'll have a bit of cheese on toast. Oh, cheese on toast. It's 11 o'clock. Oh, fancy it. Before we pray the Lord's Prayer, we must reflect on what Jesus is actually saying. This is why I'm saying that I think for centuries, many people have got it completely the wrong way round. You would have learnt it in school, I'm sure. And I bet you said it really fast. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. La 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 la. Amen. Amen. I told you when Freddie was a little one and he used to say the Lord's Prayer, he used to think God's name was Howard. Howard be thy name. Of course, at that age, Freddie, he's not thinking about what he's praying. Howard be thy name. You like that one, Anna? She's still laughing. I wonder how quick we rush in prayer and how quick we rush out. I'm beginning to learn, embarrassingly so, I have to say, that prayer is far more about meditation than it is about talking. Does that make sense? I don't mean meditation as in Eastern meditation or and all that business. I mean reflecting on the goodness and the greatness of our all-loving Heavenly Father. So let's just recap just for a moment or two on the Lord's Prayer. When we say Father, we acknowledge him as our source. When we say hallowed be thy name, we acknowledge him as sacred. We've got lots of S's here. We've got source, we've got sacred. When we say thy kingdom come, we acknowledge him as sovereign. When we say thy will be done, we acknowledge him as superior. When we say give us this day our daily bread, we acknowledge him as our supplier. When we say forgive us our sins, we acknowledge him as saviour. And when we say lead us not into temptation, we acknowledge him as our shelter. I'll say it again. When you take time to reflect on all the goodness that's contained in the Lord's Prayer, it will change your life if you allow it to. I don't know a great deal about seeds. I know some of you know a lot about seeds, maybe Dave in the garden, different things. But I imagine they need to be in the right environment. They need to have the right amount of light. They need the right amount of water. They need to be buried down deep so that the birds of the air don't steal them away. Sometimes you can look at a seed and think, what's happening? But sometimes, like the kids will bring something home from school, and within a week it's gone, pew! And you think, how did that happen? All seeds seem to react differently. There are different seasons in our life where God's word is still doing a work on the inside of our character. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes longer than it should because we get in the way of what God wants to do. Or we don't align ourselves with God's will. And this is why I keep saying we must go back to the Lord's Prayer. It should be a meditation every day. Every day we should have quiet time and reflect on the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because Jesus' disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And this was his reply. He gave them a seed that contains so much power. One wise Christian put it this way, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're simply lining up with what God has already promised and wants to do. You're bringing your life into harmony with his will, already expressed and revealed. This is part of what it means to follow Christ. Now you'd understand when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. A cross was an instrument of death. It wasn't a sun lounger. It's not somewhere to just have a rest. The truth is, our human nature, our fallen nature, gets in the way too often of what God is trying to do. That's why the Bible says we are a new creation in Christ. What a challenge for us to start walking in the truth of that. There could be no place for the Christian who says, if you don't like it, lump it, that's the way I am. No. Change. And allow the Lord to change you. When we came to Christ, it should have been the end of us and the beginning of something new. But quite often we put Jesus on like he's a satchel or a parachute. We forget he's there and then we get in trouble and we go, oh, pull the parachute. Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is the challenge. How do we become more Christ-like? In the flesh, it's impossible and it would be ugly. I don't know what kind of Jesus we'd be like if we tried to do it in and of ourselves. But it's the Holy Spirit who creates the portrait. It's the Holy Spirit who brings about the right fruit and character. And the Holy Spirit can only do that when we allow him. From now on, for you and I, it should be, Father, it's your name, it's your kingdom, it's your will. I only want what you've promised. Physical sustenance, forgiveness from sins, and protection from temptation that could ruin me or those around me. We all have sinned. So when Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil, Jesus knows what it is to be tempted and he knows the challenges that we will face. And what he's saying is make sure on a daily basis that you commit yourself to the safety and security of God. If you walk through a minefield, you'd be very carefully looking where you think it's safe to tread. But if there were no signposts and the ground just looked the same everywhere else, you'd be completely lost, wouldn't you? But if somebody had already paved that field before you and you knew where it was safe to walk in that minefield and you could follow the footsteps, well, his foot's there and there's not a hole, so that one's safe. There's another safe one. That is just like following the Lord in this life. He teaches us how to walk in the Spirit. But if we take our eyes off Him, if we don't meditate upon Him, if we don't seek the Lord and His righteousness, it's like going into a minefield where we might just trigger something. We might just trigger something. Lead us not into temptation is a humble prayer that simply says, in and of myself, I ain't got what it takes. As a child, I grew up addicted to certain things, sadly. And as a teenager, I was addicted to certain things. And I've always had probably what some people might refer to as an addictive personality. Some people are like that. I have my challenges, but you have yours. That's why every day we humbly come before the Lord and say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So does verse 13 suggest that God's going to lead us into a temptation so that we can sin? That would be a wrong assumption based on what the book of James says, chapter 1, verse 13. James says this, let no one say when he's being tempted that I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. I think the truth is that sometimes if you get your finger burnt in the fire and you go back to the fire, you're a fool and it's your fault. But then if you really get burnt, then maybe that lesson will teach you, don't go near the fire. We are like children, and we are like sheep that can easily go astray. Excuse me. I've had an absolute rotten throat all week. I've been waking up sounding like Darth Vader. It was so bad one morning, I honestly thought for a moment, I think my voice has permanently changed. I don't sound like a squeaky southerner now. Excuse me. James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into various tests. Wow. What a verse. How joyful. Here's another test. Why does it say count it joy? Because the Bible says that it works in us a patience and a dependence upon God. No discipline is pleasant, the Bible says. It's painful, but it produces in us a harvest of righteousness by which we are trained, is what the scripture says. We think we stop learning when we go to school. We don't. And when we follow the Lord, we're on a completely different course. It's a totally different curriculum. His pain and suffering and his agony that humbled him. And he said, when I am weak, he is strong. You know, on Friday and Saturday, I was beginning to be tempted with the thoughts of I might need to phone someone and ask to cover me this morning. And I thought, do you know what? Even if I squeak it out, I'm going to squeak it out. Because I'm preparing my message and I wanted to be a blessing to you. In 2017, Pope Francis announced that he thought the common English language, English translation of the Lord's Prayer was wrong. I remember seeing it in the news, and I looked it up online, and I was correct. Excuse me. That doesn't imply that God might lead people into temptation. He said that was the devil's job. He said it must be a wrong translation, and he said, we need to change it. Don't let us fall into temptation. But who led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan? Who was it? What does the scripture say? Pardon? A bit quiet this morning. The Holy Spirit. It said the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested. Why? Because Jesus was from the outset of his ministry going to put Satan in his place. And he was going to give the Holy Spirit complete control. And sometimes God allows us on a certain path because we've put ourselves there. And it's the only way that we will learn. Look at the life of Job. Look how Jesus said that to Simon, Satan desires to test you. He desires to sift you as wheat. Well, that's an encouraging message, isn't it? Can you imagine if Jesus said to you, I've got some good news and bad news. You have loved of God, but the bad news is Satan wants to give you a right good kicking. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've been restored, return to your brothers. In other words, Jesus says, there's a purifying work that's about to take place. And God's going to burn out that stubbornness and that self-dependence you've got, Peter, that you are Mr. Big. That somehow you've got it all together. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, and Jesus overcame Satan. We all go through different trials because God is perfecting us and working his will in us. Even when we suffer physically, God is doing a work in us. He's causing us to see that what matters is our spirit and our relationship with him. Interestingly, the word for temptation in the Greek is the same word for trial. God uses trials and challenges. Sometimes we avoid them. Can you imagine if we actually saw the things that God had steered us away from or around? There's a saying that sometimes God takes us around the storm, sometimes he removes the storm, and sometimes he takes us right through the eye of the storm. Verse 13 then, I believe, is the kind of prayer that grows out of self-distrust. I don't trust myself. There's an interesting thought. Lead me not into temptation, Lord, because I don't trust myself. That doesn't mean that I'm weak or a wimp. What it means is that I'm humbling myself to such a place where I say, I can never say that I would never sin, that I wouldn't be tempted in some way, I wouldn't be challenged. I think our young people have got a real handful. Because if you see every Instagram post and every Facebook post, it's all clothes get tighter, faces get prettier, men go more cross-eyed than ever. And it's all there at a touch of a button. Just type a word and you're in that sin. Just change the channel and you can watch something that will defile you. You don't even have to go to the video shop now. You can stream it. Our young people, friends, are on a hiding to nothing. I know Reuben at the moment, and he'll say it himself, he's not finding school easy at secondary school. Why? I think I know why. He's not perfect, but I think it's because he's trying to grow in godliness. Does that make sense? And he's seeing and sensing and feeling and being made aware of a lot of nonsense around him. And my journey as a dad is to help him navigate so that he doesn't judge. You can make spiritual judgments. That's not right. That's foolish. That's nonsense. But don't become critical. We should still be merciful. The Bible says that we should show mercy to those who are stumbling, but at the same time take a step back, lest we be corrupted with the same thing. Excuse me. It's like saying, I know myself, I know I can be in situations that could be a test for my strengthening, but it could become a temptation and it could become sin. Could become sin. I sinned this week. that's all to do with football. Oh, what a surprise. The temptation just to say the wrong thing about a certain parent who's misbehaving. And then their team lost for the first time at the weekend. And I was the first one to go to our manager and say, guess what the news was? And I gossiped. And at the time I did it because I thought, he's always bragging, he's always going on, it's always about his, you know. And then I thought, oh, Simon, oh, goodness sake. Why did you do that? Why visit Muppetsville? It is, isn't it? It's like, I swear, sometimes as adults, we visit the world of Nickelodeon. The challenge in the workplace, just someone who's got a bit of gossip. Oh, really? God help us, deliver us from temptation to say the wrong thing. When that thought comes, deal with it. Don't fall into it. One person put it this way: I'm afraid of my weaknesses. I'm afraid of my inabilities. I'm afraid of the shallowness of my devotion. I'm afraid of the weakness that I love. I remember my past sins. I remember the pain of repentance. I remember the pain of confession. I know my flesh is weak. I know I live in a fallen world, which is an ever-present threat to my character. I've seen it in my life in the past, and I've seen it all around me. We are sinful when we are surrounded in an evil world. But friends, let us not be afraid. The Bible says, cast our cares upon the Lord. We should be, have alarm bells about our character. We could be very quick to judge. Very quick for that wrong word to come out. Quick to snap. Lazy to do something we know we ought to do. And that's why Jesus ends that prayer perfectly. The Lord's Prayer is such an honest prayer. It's like looking in the mirror before we pray. Think of it that way. The Lord's Prayer is like looking in God's mirror before we pray. Finally, my first finally, Stephen. Could be my last, I'll let you know. I was thinking about sheep. People have got this opinion that sheep are stupid. I'm not actually sure if that's true. I actually Googled yesterday. I was just this sure. I said, are sheep stupid? And actually, a lot of people said, no, actually, they're not stupid, but they are vulnerable. They're not stupid, but they're very vulnerable. I thought, well, that's very interesting. You and I are not stupid. But we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable. The Lord is our shepherd if we listen to his voice. Jesus said he's the good shepherd. The sheep don't listen to the voice of another. They respond to his voice. But sometimes we don't respond to his voice. Maybe in church on a Sunday, 5 or 10 minutes goes in, the rest of it hasn't. Or you go home, switch TV on, forgotten the sermon, back to normal. Not watered the seed, not meditated and reflected, and then what God intended could be lost. We can be very vulnerable and foolish. I found out a few facts about sheep. It's quite interesting. I don't know if you're into sheep. Do you like sheep? Shaun the Sheep. I like Shaun the Sheep. He's got a new movie out, has he? I used to watch Shaun the Sheep with Ruben and Freddie. Sorry, I digress. Even if sheep are not directly bitten or they survive an attack, sheep can die from panic. They can die from panic. They can just be overwhelmed. We live in a world where people are dying from anxiety and depression. May not have a visible wound on the outside, but on the inside they're overwhelmed. Sheep can be panicked by the presence of a predator, and they've been known to stampede into an obstruction like a downhill drainage and literally stack up on top of each other until many animals are suffocated or injured. I mean, it's almost a comical scene of these white clouds all legging it towards a precipice and falling down and suffocating each other. In contrast to sheep, wolves are much smarter. They're cunning, they're strong, and they're swift. They hide themselves in rocks by day and leap into a fold at night and seize the victim in a very stealth-like manner, just like sin. They're strong in body and teeth. They can kill animals many times bigger than they are. They're so swift and strong of foot, they can carry off a lamb or a sheep at full speed. That's crazy, isn't it? Then off it goes. This is what I wanted to close with as a thought. Some farmers skillfully build fences like a hedge of protection that keep the wolves at bay. But the problems begin when they don't inspect, take care, or repair the fence. It's like Nehemiah and the walls in Israel. We should have fences around our lives. Don't be alone with a woman if you find yourself in a difficult situation. Don't watch something that you know is going to cause you to go, look at that. Because we're all prone to it. When you got a pastor in the church, you didn't think he would glide down on a skateboard, did you? Just floating in the air with his long cassock. We're all pilgrims passing through. We need to warn each other, look out for each other, protect one another. That's why the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Because as a congregation, we should look after each other, support each other. Have you inspected your fence lately? We had a wooden fence that had been in our garden for 40 years, and all the brambles had grown in it so much that it had worked its way right through the panels, and it was an absolute mess. And when we spent several weeks trying to dig the stuff out and put new fencing in it, it was just an unbearable, incredibly big job. You think it looks easy. That's what sin's like. Don't leave it till the last minute. If you've been tempted with something, don't kid yourself. Wolves can move tens of miles in a day. So it has no problem taking a tour of a long fence and finding a weak spot. Have you seen a lion just waiting for its prey? Just staying there, and it can wait for ages, can't it? So patient. And all of a sudden, bang. What does the Bible say about Satan? He is a roaring lion waiting to see who he can devour. Yeah, he prowls, he growls. Are there any areas of your character or your habits or the time you spend that you know you're putting yourself in harm's way? It has to stop. The second big mistake that sheep farmers make is they don't react swiftly after a first attack on the sheep. Temptations like that. Wake up, as the saying goes, and smell the coffee. Get yourself out. One of the addictions I had when I was younger was gambling. Terrible. I was so addicted to slot machines. My school was 4.5 miles away. We were sent home early from school one day because of a snowstorm. It was really bad. And I had 25 pence in my pocket. And I thought, I'm going to walk into the town and have two goes on the slot machine. 10p a go. In a second, my transport was gone, and I walked home in a snow blizzard. And even then I thought, what an idiot. What a mug. people's lives and families are destroyed because they don't deal with a can, with liquid. What a challenge we face. That's why we have to get our own house in order before we even try to help someone else. Let's not be naive and think temptation to sin is only a small threat. Just as we wash our bodies each day, so the Lord's Prayer is the perfect sponge. It comforts, it cleanses, makes us fresh. So we've finished the Lord's Prayer, but we've not at all. I think we've just begun. Please, I never give you homework, do I? I've never said it. I might tease you. But please, will you remember this? Go away with this. I'm giving you some homework this week, and I really pray you would do this. Take half an hour from your week. Open your Bible. Read the Lord's Prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you all the wonderful truth that He wants you to know. Ask Him to transform your faith. Ask Him to renew your hope. Ask Him for the provision that you need. Ask Him to keep you safe in the shelter of His wing. Ask Him to make you the kind of person that He intended you to be from the beginning.